Good morning, church. Absolutely gorgeous day out. It's supposed to be a nice week in the 80s, occasional showers, but mostly a nice week. So it's gorgeous out there today. Make sure you take advantage of it. Get out and at least just sit on the porch. I've got a couple of announcements I need to make here. Church Council has been moved from July 25th to August the 9th. So Church Council will meet August the 9th, 7 p.m. Okay, and then the youth group, of course, they had to cancel their trash bash, picking up litter. They got rained out, but it's been moved to Tuesday the 25th. So it'll be a week from this Tuesday. At 3 p.m., the youth group will meet here at the church. There's no need for them to sign up ahead of time, but they can bring their friends, meet here at the church at 3 o'clock. They'll go around town picking up litter. Then they will head out to Oak Hollow Park and have a cookout, and they will be done by 7 p.m. So please spread that word. Get that word out for the kids. If they have any questions, they can call here. They can call me, call the church office. And then on Friday the 28th, the youth group will be going to Caddy Shack. And they can call Pastor Stephen and get the details on that. Okay. Well, let's enter into an attitude of worship. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks, Lord, for the housekeeping and the announcements. We give you thanks for the fellowship and the passing of the peace, scripture reading and prayers. We give you thanks, God, that we're two or more gathered together in your name. There are you in the midst of them. Welcome, Lord. Thank you for signs of Vacation Bible School. And God, we thank you for an opportunity to teach our children about you. And so, Lord, we pray that what we do here today is pleasing unto you and life-changing to all of us. And we're asking that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us here, bless us with a heart of flesh, and open us up to receive the word that you have for us today. Convict us, Lord. Convert us. Fill us with a hunger for your holy word and with an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first in every area of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us all with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass that peace to your neighbor.
To see everybody. Woo.
There we go.
Again, like Pastor said, the most obvious is the festive VBS decorations. It looks fantastic. The kids will have a great week. And Penny's going to have some things to say about VBS starting tomorrow. And there's lots of announcements in your bulletin. Please look through it. And there's an insert regarding today's children's collection is for the We Got Your Backpack ministry, day of the event, August 12th. But there is information in the bulletin, again, an insert for that. And there's a surprise announcement in the bulletin today for Miss Nellie and Bruce, a dinner honoring their 50th wedding anniversary. After the 10:45 service at 12:30, potluck dinner on the 30th, Sunday, July 30th. So there's information on that in the bulletin. Also, bring a dish to share if possible, and an RSVP by the 28th. So Pastor did go through a bunch of the announcements. I think that's it. Penny, are you coming up or staying? Okay. Morning.
Okay, as you can see, we are ready for Vacation Bible School. And I'm pretty much set with helpers, but if anybody's available Thursday or Friday, I can really use somebody because I have some people that aren't available on Thursday and Friday, so I'm going to be a little short. But I wanted to thank everybody for the donations of the food to help with the snacks for the kids and for all your support that you have for our Vacation Bible School. Thank you, and have a good week.
In your bulletin at the very top, there is our July memory verse. If you could all recite that with me twice. It comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, chapter 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Now let us all turn our hearts and minds to our worship today. Please stand for our call to worship, found on page 862 from Psalm 150, and follow along with me, responding to my prompts. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Praise God in His mighty firmament.
Praise God for His mighty deeds.
Praise God for His exceeding greatness.
Praise God with trumpet sound.
Praise God.
Praise God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with strings and lyre.
Praise God with sounding cymbals.
Praise God with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And remain standing for our hymn, first hymn number 732 in the red hymnal, Come We That Love the Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Five? All right, and who loves us? Jesus loves us. Who loves all of them? Jesus loves all of them too. Let's play a little bit of Jesus Says. Come on up here and stand. Okay. Jesus says, flap your wings like a chicken. Okay, stop that. Jesus didn't say stop that. Keep flapping your wings like a chicken. Okay, Jesus says stop that. Jesus says bark like a dog. Bark. Woof, woof, hoo, hoo, hoo. Okay, Jesus said stop that. Jesus, okay. Hop on one foot. Jesus didn't say that. All right. Jesus said turn around in a circle. Okay. Jesus said stop that. And Jesus said clap your hand. All right. Clap your hand. That's one. Gonna listen real carefully. How do you clap one hand? Clap his hand. You clap his hand. Okay, that's how you clap one hand. Keep clapping. Okay, Jesus said stop that. All right. Jesus said, I want you to pretend that everybody out here is poor. Everybody out there, all poor, okay? All of you pretend that. This is a quarter. Okay, now you've got a choice. I'm going to give you a choice. You can keep that quarter and spend it on candy later if you want to. You can keep that quarter, put it in your piggy bank. Or you can give that quarter to somebody who's poor. Now, what do you think Jesus would want you to do? So go and do whatever Jesus wants you to do. That'll teach you to sit in back. All right. Now, you know what? That put a smile on Jesus' face. Because Jesus did say to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those who are sick and in prison. He said, that which you do unto the least of these, to those who are poor, he said, you do it unto me. So when you help other people, you're helping Jesus. And Jesus tells us what to do with our lives every day. Jesus always tells us where to go and what to do. And all we have to do is read the Bible to find out. And then we learn to live our lives by what it says in the Bible. So, very good. Jesus says, huddle up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for words to live by. Help us to do the right thing. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Okay.
Life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor, and words fall short times like these when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you that used to be. Tell your heart to beat again, close your eyes and breathe. Shadows fall away, step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door, you don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been, and tell your heart to beat again. Beat leave the dark.
Technical difficulties. My goodness.
And your journey's just begun.
Let's call it a day.
Technical difficulties.
Yay. Thank you, Missy.
I can tell you from first, she deserves the applause. So.
And it was beautiful, too, what we did here. I forgot to ask if there are any visitors, and if there are any visitors, please get some information out in the narthex on there's a shepherd's crook, or the ushers will be happy to provide you with some information on our church. Our first reading from the Bible today comes from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 13, and it involves Paul's ministry, his preaching to the faithful in Thessalonia, and also Silas and Timothy as well, regarding telling them about how poorly they were treated in Philippi, and reassuring them that there were no false motives in their preaching or evil purposes, very purposeful and straightforward. Hear the word of God. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. You yourselves are witnesses, and God is witness, how holy and upright and blameless our dealings with you believers were. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Thanks be to God for his holy word.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Hello, here we go. Right about now, you're saying, well, he's out of order. This isn't what comes next in the bulletin. What? Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe not. Yeah. What does it say at the end of our service in the bulletin? Holy Spirit is in charge. And this is like life. We don't want to ever get too comfortable in the traditions and in the way we do things. We don't ever want to get too comfortable in the way we live our lives that when there's a change, we get all bent out of shape. Because the Holy Spirit's in charge. God is the boss. Just recently, I preached on the authority of God's Word, and today I'm going to preach about who's the boss. And it's real similar to that other sermon. Different in some ways, but it's every bit as important. When I preached on the authority of God's Word, I said I believed it was the biggest battle we're fighting in the world today about whether the Bible is really the Word of God or not. I believe it's one of the most important sermons that I've ever preached. Today is also on the same level, one of the most important sermons I'll ever preach to you. The authority of God's Word and the fact that God said it, God ordered it, God commanded it, His Word, well, it's what separates the children from the adults. Jesus, God, our King and Creator of the whole universe. It leaves no margin for error. No margin for error. Recognizing that God is the boss in our lives takes away the gray areas and eliminates fence sitting in Christianity. And let me tell, I've got to tell you, there's a lot of fence sitting in Christianity. A lot of us will be Christians when it suits our purposes and when it's comfortable. But the Christianity goes out the window when things get a little rough, a little tough, and it's uncomfortable. When we're called upon to do things that we don't like to do, we pass the buck. We're not doing it. And we become fence sitters. And it's one of my biggest fears is that we as Christians are fence sitters, doing what is easy to do, what we enjoy doing, working a little bit, giving some, but not living and giving to the depth which God has called us to give. Jesus said that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Not pick and choose, but you'll obey my commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll eat my flesh, drink my blood. Jesus said, you have to love me more than you love your children. Can you imagine that? You have to love me more than you love your children, more than you love your spouse. You have to love me more than you love your own life. Pick up your cross daily, every day, and follow me. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Revelation 3. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. It's Jesus speaking. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, and because you're lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. I don't want anything to do with you. Got a lot of lukewarm Christians, a lot of lukewarm churches. Huh? People, we've got so many Christians who think that just because they go to church most every Sunday, because they help out here and there, because they throw a couple of bucks in the offering plate, that's all they have to do. They're saved. They can go off and do what they want to do the rest of the week. They can make their own plans. They can enjoy things that they think might be a little shady. Maybe God isn't too happy about some of the things we do, but that's okay. I'm a good person most of the time. That's called being lukewarm. And that makes me afraid. Don't want to be lukewarm. You know, we think we're doing so well. We think we're doing so much for God. God just saying, man, you can't run hot one day and cold the next. Because when you put it together, it comes out lukewarm. We always say the Lord's Prayer. You know, I love the Lord's Prayer. You love the Lord's Prayer. I don't have my glasses on. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do we mean it? Do we mean it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done? In other words, we're saying to God, you're the boss. You're the king. I will live my life doing what you want me to do. Not just when it suits me, but you're in charge. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tell me what to do, God. I'm your servant. Everything that I have belongs to you. Use it, use me as you see fit. Do we really mean it? Little illustration. You may have heard this parable. It's been around a long time. Once upon a time, there was a man who was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with a holy light and the Savior appeared. And the Lord told the man that he had work for him to do. And so he took the man outside and he showed him out in front of the cabin. There was a very large rock. And he told the man that he wanted to push against that rock with all his might. Push against that rock with all your might. And so the man did that day after day. For many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown. His shoulders set squarely against that rock, that cold, massive rock, pushing with all of his might, day after day, year after year. He did what God told him. And each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain because that rock didn't move one iota. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind, such as, you have been pushing against that rock for a long time and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You are never going to move it. You're a failure. Thus giving the man that the impression that the task was impossible. And these thoughts, they discouraged and disturbed the man, disheartened him. Why should he kill himself over this? And he thought, I'll just put my time in, giving the minimum effort. That will be good enough. And he planned to do that until one day he decided to take it into prayer. So he went to God and he poured out his heart to God and he said, Lord, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you asked me to do. Yet after all this time, I haven't budged that rock even a half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I a failure? And to this, the Lord responded compassionately, my child, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was only to push against it. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back sinewed and brown, your hands are calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. And yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my child, will now move the rock. So let me ask you, who's the boss? Who's the boss? Now, I know if Terry was being honest like me, Terry would say, Debbie's the boss. And I would say, Bonnie's the boss.
That's being politically correct.
Yes. You know, when I counsel couples for getting married, I always tell the guy the two most important words you need to know are?
Yes, dear.
These guys know it. Yeah, yes, dear. That's right. But ultimately, in all of life, in everything that we do, who's the boss? God. But a lot of us aren't living like it. A lot of us are living like we punch a time clock with God and we only serve Him sometimes, some places, once in a while, usually when it's convenient, or usually when we're in dire need. But God wants to be the boss all the time. In fact, God demands to be the boss all the time. And God says, if you're only going to serve me part-time, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that the first and greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How many people here have seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge? Well, we had a few more in the first service that saw Hacksaw Ridge. Great, great movie. True story. It's violent because it's about World War II, but it's about a man who goes into the army. And he's a conscientious objector. He wants to be in the army to do his part. All his friends have enlisted, and so he's going to enlist too. Except he won't touch a rifle. He's a man of great faith. He says, I will not pick up a rifle. So he goes in, signs up as a medic. He wants to save lives. And when it comes time in boot camp for them to learn how to use a rifle, he won't touch one. They throw him in the brig. Hey, you're going to jail, buddy. And if you don't pick up that rifle, we're going to court-martial you. And he says, I refuse. He says, God told me not to touch a rifle. I am only in this to save lives, not to take lives. And his own men didn't trust him because he wouldn't pick up a gun. So he was brought up on charges. He's going through his court-martial. And when his dad walks in, his dad who served in World War I, and he had a letter from some general or something, and the letter said to accept this man, to let him be a conscientious objector, and if he didn't want to pick up a rifle, and he wanted to face the enemy, that was his business, but he could be a medic. And so they let him be a medic. And then they shipped him off to this place to fight the Japanese called Hacksaw Ridge. And he had to climb up these rope ladders onto the top of this huge cliff and then fight the enemy all the way inland. Only the enemy, the Japanese, kept pushing them back and they had to come back down the cliff. Hundreds of men were getting killed left and right. And this young man started saving lives as a medic. And when they pushed everybody off the cliff, that young man turned around and said, okay, God, you sent me here to save lives. And he heard somebody moaning, and he went back in by himself, and he saved another soldier, carried him over to the cliff, tied a rope around him, and lowered him down. And he went back in, and he saved another one. and lowered him down. And then he went and saved another one and lowered him down. And the soldiers at the bottom of the cliff were wondering, where were all these soldiers coming from? What was going on here? And his young man said, okay, what do you want me to do now, God? And he heard another soldier moaning. And there was fog and smoke enemy soldiers everywhere. But he crawled back in and saved another one. He saved 72 soldiers that night. True story. 72 soldiers. His hands were blistered from lowering the rope. He was worn to a frazzle. He eventually got injured. But he lived. And they had an interview with him, with the real person after the movie. Amazing movie. True story about a man who made God his boss and did what he was told, even in the face of imminent death. God wants to be our boss all the time. Results are up to God. Push against the rock. Whatever it is God has called you to do in life, push against the rock. Do what you're told. That's all God wants us to do, to be obedient. I tell you, life will change for you. God loves you, and so do I.
I would now invite the ushers to please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, we give you these tithes and these offerings, and we pray that you would bless and multiply them and use them through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. praise the Lord, and please be seated. Joys. What joys do we have that we want to share? Yes, Cheryl's here. Woo-hoo. Had a family reunion picnic yesterday, all day, down at Renzi Park with family from all over the country, actually, Texas, California. Had a good time. What other joys do you have? Okay, so his tumor has shrunk so much in his liver that he will not have to do surgery and remove part of his liver. Other joys.
Sunshine,
beautiful weather. We had our one-room Sunday school class this morning, and we'll have another one next month, third Sunday in the month. Bring out the kids. What other joys do we have? Okay. Tomorrow is Connie's sister's wedding anniversary. 51 years? Okay. So for all of our joys, we say praise the Lord. Okay, pens and pencils. Write down on your bulletin or somewhere these prayer requests. It is everybody's homework. Remember Amy in your prayers. Terry and Debbie's daughter is having a procedure to remove a huge kidney stone on Friday. Please remember my Bonnie in your prayers. Test results didn't show anything on Wednesday, so she's having more tests run. She's anemic. Remember our church, our outreach, ministries here. Pray for our country and our country's leaders at all levels of the government, national, federal, local. Pray for our first responders. Pray for Pastor Stephen and our youth group. Pray for S-T-O-J-A-N, Stoyan. Stoyan. Pray for Stoyan and his family. Who else do we want to pray for? Pray for VBS this week, 6:30. Okay, pray for the family and friends of the state trooper who was killed the other day. This is an opportunity. God is greater than any problem that we have or anybody else has. Addicts. Addicts, family and friends. Bruce. God bless you.
My real good friend Joey, a friend who passed away in Harvard for cancer. And he was taking a pill that was costing $10,000 a month.
Whew, gee. Let's pray for Joe. He's battling cancer. If you have an unspoken request, raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows the details. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks for all the blessings that we have. Forgive us when we take them for granted. And God, we also we believe, God, help our unbelief. We lift up into the light and love of your presence Amy and Bonnie Stoyan and his family, Vacation Bible School, our church, Lord, the ministries, that we would be your church, our country and our country's leaders, that state troopers, family and friends, first responders. We lift up to Pastor Stephen in the youth group. We lift up to you, Lord, those who are addicted in any way, shape, or form, and those whose lives they affect. We lift up to Bruce and Joe and all those who are traveling. And we lift up to you the unspoken request. We believe, God, that as we mention these names in these situations, we believe, God, that your Holy Spirit does a mighty work. Because we're asking you to intervene. We're standing on your word that tells us that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We have favor with God and man. And with you, God, all things are possible, regardless of what doctors and nurses in the world may say. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in the unison prayer. It is found in your hymnal number 597 or right here in your bulletin. For the Spirit of Truth, let's say this together. From the cowardice that dares not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver me. Amen. Now let's stand and sing our closing hymn, number 600, Wonderful Words of Life. The Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee, every tongue. So we're going to confess Jesus as boss eventually anyways. It is best and in our own best interest if we start confessing Jesus as boss now. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else that you're worried about will be added unto you. Take care of God's kingdom first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God is boss. It's not easy to change. And it sounds like I'm calling us to be fanatics. Well, you know what? I am. And when we goof up and fall from grace, we just get on our knees and ask for forgiveness. Yes, God, you are boss. Your will be done, because it's going to be anyways. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Help us to surrender all that we have, to surrender our busy schedules, our plans, to give it all to you, to put it into your hands. It may be, God, that when we give it all to you, you'll just give it back. Say, do what you want until you call us. Help us, God, to push against the rock and to leave the results up to you. You are our boss. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.